I don't have any relationships to disclose, just as we're waiting for this to load. Okay, so the purpose of what I'll be presenting today is to look at access to opportunities for healthy behaviors, so specifically fruit and vegetable outlets as it relates to nutrition. So I'll be looking at grocery stores and opportunities for physical activity, such as locations of parks, and potentially you could also look at various other variables such as street structure or crime or things like that, but I'll be focusing on just the grocers and the parks, just as an example of how kind of the mapping tools that are used in geographic information systems can be applied to using methods that we more commonly use in epidemiology. And I'll be looking at how these opportunities relate to area level characteristics in five different cities and block group level characteristics in these same cities as predictors of where these opportunities are. And essentially this gets at the question of which populations are at risk for chronic disease because of the behaviors that that might precede that. So the motivation for looking at these area level predictors rather than looking at the individual level is, it's not because I'm not interested in them, they are important, but before we can understand exactly how we can change behavior, we also know that that preceding individual behavior, there are individual level characteristics that are related to behavior, and then there are environmental exposures that are also related to behavior, perhaps through the individual level characteristics. And then that itself is preceded by choice of residence, or in some cases, inability to move from a unfavorable environment, even if one wants to live in an environment where you have more opportunities. And these in turn are related to neighborhood level demographics. So I'll be focusing on the red box, environmental exposure operationalizes access to opportunities as it relates to neighborhood level demographics. So my own background is in epidemiology, where we look more at individual level behavior and exposures relating to those. In doing my dissertation, I've had to learn some geographic information systems, and in that case, you're looking more at maps and continuum across geography, and that's kind of, I'm bringing that into today's presentation. And then I'll also be bringing in information from that's more commonly used in business, kind of business-to-business interaction, but which we can also use in epidemiology to understand kind of that particular environment. What I won't be talking about today, but which I do think is a very important aspect of how these opportunities are distributed, is government. And this relates to kind of like regulation of perhaps zoning for where grocery stores or farmers markets might be, or it might relate to how resources are allocated for the creation and maintenance of parks, and also relates to policies that relate to how those things are distributed, et cetera. So I won't be talking about that, but I do think that's an important aspect to understand. So for this particular presentation, I focus on five metropolitan statistical areas, which I'll just call MSA. And they're from all over the country, actually, except the western side, Atlanta, Austin, Chicago, Knoxville, and Minneapolis. There's a variety of sizes where you see Atlanta is just about 8,500 square miles, but you have the smaller MSA Knoxville, which is just under 2,000. And then the unit of analysis is the block group, and there's various sizes of those, varying between 1.1 where in Chicago, where you have very small city block groups, to to Austin, where you have 5.6 square miles per on average for each block group, because there's a lot of there's a good deal more farmland there and rural areas, which I think for even though we're talking about metropolitan areas, there are urban areas within it and non-urban areas also. So here I've said outcomes, but by outcomes I mean it in a kind of statistical modeling kind of way. This is the dependent variable. What I'll be looking at is the presence of one or more parks within 5 miles of the center of the block group. And the reason that I use 5 miles from the center is because of the different sizes of the block groups. This controls for that internally in terms of you have larger block groups, maybe you have more opportunities or more land that you could fill with parks or grocery stores, which is actually not the case, but it controls for that potential. And then for food and vegetable outlets, I'll be looking at grocery stores and farmers markets. Again, with zero versus one or more within 5 miles. And I'll talk a little bit about each of these data sources. For the fruit and vegetable data source, we mapped locations of grocery stores based on data from the Dun & Bradstreet Million Dollar Database. This is a business-to-business database that's usually used for that purpose. But because I was looking for data sources that had full coverage across the U.S., this was one where we had consistent information on grocery stores and also whether it's a chain grocer or a locally owned grocer. And they're listed by NAICS code, which is basically just an industry code. And the two codes that are included are vegetable and fruit and vegetable specialty markets, which includes farmers markets, and supermarkets and other grocery stores, excluding convenience stores. And then for access to parks, the location of parks was determined using the ESRI 2007 shapefiles for parks. And here you'll see that there's a variety in terms of which cities have how many parks and what kind of area each of these parks might serve on average. So in Chicago, you have about 2,500 total parks, but when we look at ones that are 0.025 kilometers squared or more in size, that it's roughly about 1/100th of a square mile. So if you think about just a city block even, there's only about 1,600 that are greater than that size. So one of the issues is it park size, total green space that matters, or is it just the presence of any sort of green space where you can maybe walk your dog, but you might not be able to have playground equipment or go running or something like that. So this kind of shows that it's a little bit different for if you look at total number or within a given size of parks. So for my statistical modeling, I use logistic regression because it's a yes-no outcome. Is there an opportunity or is there not within 5 miles? And I use the SAS-GLMEX model, or macro rather, which allows for random effects for metropolitan statistical area and county. And I also use a compound, essentially this is a compound symmetric correlation. So basically it just says that those block groups that are in the same county are correlated with one another. And those within a metropolitan statistical area are correlated with one another as well. And the predictors that I looked at were continuous predictors, and they're dichotomized across all the cities. And I put in main effects for all of them, and then also examined interaction by with these demographics by city. And the variables that I'll be talking about are the MSA, urbanization, yes, no, size of the block group, and also demographics estimated for 2007, and they're listed here. And I say that the demographic information is estimated because it is estimated using 2007 census data, and this is a commercial database that uses information from all kinds of different sources, including these, to estimate population size, median income, all kinds of housing information. So just as an example, this is urbanization in Atlanta. The gray areas are the urban areas, and the outline is the outline of the metropolitan statistical area. And then for education, looking at proportion of those with a bachelor's degree, you'll see that it sort of, the darker color represents those block groups that have higher attainment of bachelor's degrees, and you'll see that's concentrated a little more in the urban areas. Unemployment, here by percentage, also with darker areas representing more unemployment, more in the certain areas. And then the outcome that we'll be looking at is fruit and vegetable locations, and those are the little red or black dots, and you'll see that they are centered in the urban areas. This is just another way of showing the data by block group rather than by location of the actual fruit and vegetable atlas. And again, it's darker with more opportunities in the urban areas. So when I put everything into the model, all of those demographics, the main effects that I saw were size. This should actually say white non-Hispanic, not non-white Hispanic. And median income. So because this is dichotomized, these odds ratios show a comparison of large values of the variables shown on the bottom compared to low values in whether or not they have these opportunities. So for example, in size, larger block groups are less likely to have a fruit and vegetable outlet than smaller block groups. And that's over and above the effect of urbanicity, which is not shown here, but that is at 25.2, very, very strong odds ratio, which you would expect having seen the fruit and vegetable data. I'm sorry, the map with the little dots and the gray urban area. And then for education, there's actually an interaction between city and the effect of having more versus fewer bachelor's degrees. In Atlanta, Austin, Chicago, and Knoxville, it's in the direction that you would expect in that kind of more areas where you have residents who are more highly educated, there are more opportunities. But in Minneapolis, there seems to be kind of a null effect. And then for unemployment rate, again, there seems to be a good deal of variation by city. Moving on to physical activity opportunities, this just shows by block group, the availability or the number of parks that are available within 5 miles. And again, it's concentrated in the urban areas. In this case, again, size, the larger block groups have fewer opportunities. And again, there's a variation by city. In the expected directions for the first four cities, but again, a null effect for Minneapolis. And then for median income, again, there's variation in which direction the association is between availability of opportunities and median income. Sorry. And then for urbanicity, physical activity opportunities were positively associated with having an urban area in the block group. But the magnitude is very different. In Minneapolis, it's a pretty mild effect in comparison to Austin, where you have an odds ratio of 134, which is kind of unheard of. So in conclusion, we see some of the expected associations between income and urbanicity for these opportunities as they relate to healthy behaviors, but there seems to be interaction between demographics by city, i.e. there's differences in the association between these demographics, if you're looking at Atlanta in comparison to maybe Austin or Minneapolis. And this is just a summary of kind of the differences. And this has implications for, at least on the researcher end, it, it deals with generalizability. Can we say that in this city this is the case, therefore it will be in this case, and in this city? And it doesn't seem to be the case. But beyond drawing conclusions, it also has implications for how we adjust for demographic level variables and how we might recruit underserved populations, because underserved might mean different things by if we're looking at certain demographic information. And also tailoring of interventions. Perhaps there is some reason that these exposures are different across cities, and that's something that needs to be accounted for in how we design our interventions. And then the last thing I want to mention is that while I think when we look at geographic information, I think people are used to ESRI data. But then the Dun & Bradstreet, which I've also used, like I said, is a business-to-business database. And it's something that hasn't been evaluated in the same framework as other sources of epidemiologic data. So some of my work now also deals with going in and looking at the, like going and ground truthing, comparing it to, if I actually drive into this area, is this business actually there? Or if it is there, is it actually what it's supposed to be as it's listed on in the database? And there does seem to be some misclassification in terms of businesses that aren't in the database should be there, and vice versa. So so that is my presentation. We're going to try to take questions at the end, and so I'll be introducing the next presenter. Juanita Kufi is a clinical research coordinator in the Division of Pediatric Endocrinology at Duke University. She's a recent Master's of Public Health graduate from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and currently works with research on childhood obesity and Prader-Willi syndrome. She is interested in research pertaining to child and adolescent health and has assisted with projects examining SDI HIV risk among adolescents and young adults. She's also first authored a paper examining gender and racial differences in adolescent sexual attitudes, and is currently examining barriers and readiness to change among pre-diabetic adolescents and their parents. So, Juanita.